Hi. I would like to thank you for joining today's webinar that's titled Improving Development Productivity for Applications Targeting the Cavium Networks Octeon Family of Multicore Processors. My name is Emeka Nwafor, and I am the Director of Product Management for Development Tools here at Wind River. We are pleased to be co-presenting to you today with the folks from Cavium Networks. In today's session, we're going to talk about the Cavium Networks family of processors and what they offer in terms of a scalable, high-performance, and low-power solution for today's intelligent networking applications. Wind River offers a comprehensive solution of runtime and tool technologies that help accelerate development on these devices, including technologies or tools that enable physical debugging on the Cavium processors. So in today's session, we're going to use our time to learn about the Cavium solution. Then we're going to talk about the Wind River solution, and we're going to save some time at the end for questions and answers, obviously. So with this, I'd like to introduce my co-presenter, Steve Klinger.
Hello, this is Steve Klinger. I am the Senior Product Line Manager for the Cavium Networks Octeon Multicore Processors. And as Emeka introduced, the first section of the presentation will cover the Cavium Octeon technology and explain how this technology is being leveraged for the next generation of multi-core networking applications. There's no doubt that that multi-core processing has really been heavily adopted within the telecom, datacom, and mobile wireless infrastructure markets in particular. As you can see in the first chart that we're showing here, roughly three-quarters of the application of multi-core processing technology is deployed in this market area today. And the reasons are fairly clear. The increase in line rates of networking equipment is demanding a great deal of additional processing power. Also, at the same time, that increased processing power has to be fit within a much smaller footprint, both from a real estate standpoint as well as from a power consumption standpoint. Integration, therefore, is a huge requirement, and the ability to take a very highly integrated multi-core processor and integrate data plane as well as control plane and other co-processing technology within a single device is what is allowing our customers and users to meet the challenges that the market presents. Looking at the multi-core technology, it really is extremely well-suited to handle a mix of control plane and data plane processing in a single device. Our customers using this technology today implement a wide variety of processing models, and the flexibility of the technology really allows that. Looking at a multi-core processor such as the Cavium Octeon technology, the device can be used as a complete data plane type of a solution where all of the various cores on a multi-core chip are all running data plane code and primarily doing packet processing. The devices can also be run in a model where there's an operating system or multiple operating systems running in a symmetric multiprocessing model across the entire chip. And then there are hybrid approaches where many users will take one or multiple cores, run an operating system on those cores, and then run data plane code on the remaining cores of the chip. All three of these processing models are real models that our customers are using today. Looking at the Octeon technology and really looking at the architecture of the previous generation of networking systems, what we saw in the previous generation was most systems were designed around a general purpose processor or CPU along with a bridge chipset and several additional coprocessor devices that would implement things like data plane packet processing, security or encryption-decryption acceleration, higher layer pattern matching types of functions such as IDS, IPS, or antivirus applications, compression-decompression chips, for example. The drawbacks of this approach are pretty obvious, kind of looking at the picture here. It's a lot of chips, and as you know, most of those chips also have associated memory subsystems. So the resulting systems were very power hungry, take a lot of board space, and are very complicated to program because each of the separate devices have their own idiosyncrasies in terms of how to actually configure or program these chips. So what we've done with Octeon really is taken all of those blocks and integrated them within a single chip with a single software suite and a single programming model. The result being much lower cost, much lower board space, much lower power, and much higher performance. And the end benefit, apart from the integration, is also the very fast time to market that you can achieve with a single device integrating all of this functionality. So why are customers adopting Octeon multi-core for networking and telecom applications? High performance is the clear and first reason. Being able to implement a full 10 gigabit per second application for wired or wireless networking in a single processor opens the door to many system applications. Also, the fact that these devices are fully C and C++ programmable, as opposed to previous generation NPUs or network processors that required proprietary microcode to be developed, is a huge boost. What this means is that a large community of users can readily adopt and use this technology. Third is the application acceleration. So for networking applications, there are always a set of functions that can be implemented much more efficiently with some hardware acceleration than through pure software routines alone. So what we've done is added packet processing, security, pattern matching, content inspection, compression, decompression, acceleration, all accessible via C libraries directly to the cores, the MIPS cores on the chip, to allow users to access that acceleration. Scalability is also key. Having a full product line that allows you to run the same software on anything from a very low-end customer premise type of application all the way to a high-end core networking application allows our users to leverage their software investment and architecture. And obviously the cost and low power that a solution such as this delivers, allowing a 16-core processor in a 30 to 40 watt max power budget, even at the top frequency range, is really a requirement for many new system designs. Cavium offers a broad range of products within our Octeon product line. They range anywhere from single core all the way up to 16 core devices. The cores themselves run anywhere from 300 up to roughly 800 megahertz, delivering anywhere from that 300 megahertz all the way up to almost 13 gigahertz of total compute performance. Depending on the specific device within the Octeon product line, the cache sizes range anywhere from 64K up to 2 meg. All of the parts are based on DDR2 standard memory technology up to DDR2 800 rate. And as I mentioned on the previous slide, what we've done is added specific acceleration for networking and packet processing applications that I'll cover in a little bit more detail on the subsequent slides. There are many device families within the Octeon product line. The 3 series were our initial generation products in 0.13 micron. The 5 series that we've now delivered to the market are all in 90 nanometer and all offer software compatibility across the product line from low end to high end and from the first generation to the second generation. Power envelopes anywhere from about 4 to 40 watts and very highly integrated package form factors. The CN58XX processor is a good example of the Octeon family from the standpoint that it shows really a superset of the type of capability that we're offering. All of the devices are based on Cavium Network's CN MIPS 64 cores. These are based on the MIPS 64 Release 2 instruction set. And each of these cores has associated with it a security engine that's tightly integrated with the cores, that share an L2 cache. And that L2 cache has locking and partitioning features that allow the cores to divide up the cache as necessary or use it as a large shared L2 cache. What you'll see on the left-hand side of the block diagram is a lot of the acceleration that we've added above and beyond the MIPS cores specifically for the networking type of applications. And those cover all of the things from receiving packets into the device, checksum generation, packet scheduling, packet parsing, as well as more application-oriented acceleration for things like TCP processing, pattern matching, compression, and decompression. And as previously noted, all of the devices use standard DDR2 memory that is accessed via a very high-performance memory controller that very efficiently schedules the traffic between the processor to the DDR2 memory. The result is that with a device like the CN58XX, we can deliver up to 8 gigahertz of total processing within a very tight core processing budget of roughly 12 watts. And from a packet processing perspective, deliver up to 20 gigabits performance for many common applications that our customers are looking to implement, things like TCP, IPsec, SSL, and wireless encryption, Kasumi. Going through a bit more detail on the specific features of the Octeon processor, the cores, again, are MIPS64 Release 2, and Cavium has added additional instructions to the processors to further optimize them for packet processing and security applications. They have a very short pipeline, a 5-stage pipeline, and what this does is really eliminate the penalty for any branch mispredicts, such as are common in networking type of applications. The L2 cache and memory subsystem is based on up to a 2-megabyte fully coherent cache, so the cores don't have to worry about any other cores on the device having the data. The latest copy of the data is always available in the L2 cache. And with the flexible locking and partitioning features I previously mentioned. There's a lot of memory bandwidth, so up to 144-bit ECC-protected interface running all the way up to DDR2 800 data rates. Standard interfaces are what Octeon utilizes, so depending on the specific device, the types of interfaces are slightly different, but they're all standard. On the devices such as the CN58XX, we offer SPI-4.2 system interfaces, as well as PCIX, both target and host mode. On some of the devices, such as the CN56XX and 57XX, we've gone to SerDes I.O., and these can be flexibly configured in combinations of either SGMII for Gigabit Ethernet, PCI Express, and ZAUI. The idea being that with these system interfaces, you can interconnect one or multiple Octeon processors with all of the other system devices and not have to utilize any proprietary interfaces. Hardware acceleration is a key advantage of Octeon, and so we have packet input and output processors that handle all of the what you might call the busy work of packet processing, receiving the packets into the device, doing all of the CRC generation checking, computing a tag for the packet. And so the cores, the first time they've spent a single CPU cycle, the packet's already received into the device, and the core has all of the information that it needs to know associated with that packet. Another key portion of the Octeon architecture is the schedule sync order unit. This you can think of as the packet manager for the device, and it handles all of the ordering issues associated with multiple packets in flight from the same traffic flow being processed by the cores, maintaining packet ordering, and doing all of the load balancing of which cores are processing which type of traffic to ensure the highest level of utilization. Having a block like the schedule sync order unit prevents the user from having to implement things like spin locks or writing other code running on the cores to try to manage all of these issues. If taking that type of approach, you would really severely limit the performance of a device such as this. Instead, we get very linear scaling for performance. For TCP acceleration, which is really the baseline functionality for a lot of higher layer applications, we've implemented a lot of functionality for buffer management, timing, and ordering. The result being that with our Cavium TCP stack, we can implement performance over 20 gigabits per second and very high rates for connection setup and teardown as well. Cavium is the market leader in security coprocessors, and what we've done is taken all of the security technology that we have in those chips and integrated that as a per-core security engine within the Octeon family. And we've done it in a building block approach such that we've optimized the primitive operations required of security algorithms, and then simple C libraries access that hardware acceleration. The result being for things like IPsec and SSL, again, up to 20 gigabits plus per second performance for those types of applications. Many applications also require compression and decompression, and so we've built a separate engine based on standard inflate-deflate standard protocols that are used by things like GZIP and PKZIP. So you can do line rate compression and decompression on traffic within the Octeon chip, utilizing a very small number of CPU cycles just to effectively provide the pointers to the engine. Regex pattern matching is another key capability within Octeon. So we've integrated DFA engines, and these can be used to do pattern searches on traffic anywhere up to around 5 gigabits per second throughput performance for intrusion detection, prevention, and antivirus applications. Our customers are using Octeon to implement a wide range of applications from the low end to the high end. On the low end, SOHO and small, medium business and enterprise applications include things like triple play gateways and wireless access points. Enterprise applications span a huge range of packet processing and control functionality in switches and routers, unified threat management appliances, and higher layer application processing and things like WAN optimization appliances. As well, the acceleration we've put in for things like RAID and deduplication are making the Octeon increasingly adopted in data center and storage applications, things like fiber channel and IP bridges and host bus adapters. Access and service provider applications are other key markets for Octeon, where it's being broadly adopted across base station, RNC, WiMAX, ASN gateways, femtocell, and session border controllers. There are a wide variety of system configurations for Octeon. The next couple of slides show a few popular ones. For an appliance type of configuration, Octeon can be used with the networking and other I.O. integrated with the device to implement a pizza box appliance where Octeon is the main processor doing all of the control and data plane processing. There are other system applications such as ATCA line cards, AMC cards, and switch and router services blades where one or multiple Octeons are interfacing to a centralized switching fabric and either being used as inline line cards or as services add-on cards that don't have any network I.O. There are also a broad range of applications that may have been based on x86-style processors where customers want to add Octeon acceleration to the device and do it in a very quick fashion. So we offer NIC cards based on Octeon that allow customers to just plug them into an available PCIX or PCI Express slot and use all of the capability that we're providing in these devices as a more of a coprocessor or inline NIC application. And integrated management and data for things like routers. Modular routers is a key market where these Octeon processors are being used, where Octeon is the main control and data plane processor interfacing to a variety of port and I.O. cards. One example of how Octane is being leveraged in very high performance compute applications include ATCA boards with multiple Octeons, two or as many as four Octeons on a single board, allowing up to 40 gigahertz of total compute to be put within the ATCA form factor on a blade. There are a variety of advantages of the approach that we've taken with Octeon. The hardware acceleration, the schedule sync order unit, and the ability to program all of the device using C software code and standard tools is one of the key advantages. Obviously, the security technology from Cavium being a market share leader in the security market allows us to support all the current as well as next generation algorithms. And where we've differentiated ourselves versus alternative approaches above and beyond our MIPS core and security technology is also with all of the other application acceleration for TCP, compression, and pattern matching. There really aren't other devices on the market offering such a breadth of scalable performance as well as the completeness of this acceleration. Within certain markets, people always want to know what's the performance that you can achieve for various functions. So I'll include this next slide for your later reference to give you some rules of thumb in terms of the type of performance that could be achieved for various applications, in this case for a wireless application, running a certain number of cores at a particular frequency. And what we find is that with Octeon, the performance linearly scales, both with the number of cores as well as the core frequency. When we benchmark our applications and provide benchmark data, we do very thorough applications. We try not to provide toy benchmarks. So this is an example for our Cavium TCP benchmark where we've implemented really a very complete set of TCP functionality, and that allows us to deliver 16 gigabits per second performance using a full set of RFC-compliant features for our TCP stack. So hopefully my section has provided you a good overview of the Octeon technology, some of the advantages that we bring, some of the opportunities that we provide to our customers. And Emeka will now cover more details on the Wind River solutions and how we're working together to make these devices very simple to program, allowing our customers to get very fast time to market.
Great. Thank you, Steve. So we're going to switch gears a little bit here. I like this slide because it kind of communicates where we are really right now as an industry as we try to embrace these new multi-core devices. If you look at the top center of the chart, back in the old days, life was relatively simple, right? You picked your processor, then you picked your programming language and your operating system, and away you went. You were up and running. But a lot of the pressures towards increased performance, reduced cost, things of that nature have led to this migration towards multi-core. And, there's obviously many different multi-core configurations. So you can take a look at SMP, where effectively as you migrate from the uniprocessor to the multi-core device, you have a consistent programming model, but you still have to deal with, some of the performance challenges, right, as you try to figure out, why am I not getting, 2x performance as I run my software on this new core. And then when you look at multi-OS, well then, the situation, changes. It becomes a little bit more intricate, right, because now you start dealing with programming model type issues, right, as you deal with multiple operating systems running on multiple cores, potentially collaborating. Then there's another dimension to this problem, and that's virtualization, right, as, due to, many different drivers, and we'll talk about them a little bit later in this presentation, but as you try to get multiple operating systems to run on, the same core, right, or the same CPU. and you start to use hypervisor technologies or virtualization technologies to make that happen. So then you sort of push your, you sort of put your head above all of this, and you realize that all of a sudden things aren't so simple, right? And as a result, you know, the industry is at the point right now where we need a new way of developing software, right? We need new development processes, we need new techniques, and we need new tools to get things done. Because, you know, quite frankly, the old techniques don't necessarily always scale and adapt to, you know, some of the new challenges presented by this new multi-core world we live in. This chart's interesting in that it helps to, you know, highlight, you know, some of the trends or industry trends that we're seeing. So all signs are that, you know, our customers are all gearing up for multi-core. We hear this every day from our customers. You know, I've been told things like, you know, our customers say, we all saw multi-core coming, but we didn't think it would come quite this quickly. And part of that is just, you know, some of the innovation that, you know, some of our partners like Cavium have done in terms of making these devices so capable and attractive to help our customers achieve, you know, their goals in the area of performance and cost reduction. But if you take a look at, you know, actually developing it and working, and this is not specific to multi-core, but this just is just in general. You know, in our industry right now, folks are still spending a lot of time, you know, trying to stabilize their software on these new hardware platforms, right? They need help with that. We're also seeing that as, you know, you're starting to integrate, you know, a lot of legacy code and new code and adopt, you know, new operating systems and new component technologies, that, you know, debugging is becoming an increasingly time-consuming task, right? And, you know, as our customers are looking to help, you know, meet the pressures that they face in terms of getting their products to market, right, and their time-to-market pressures, as well as, you know, increased quality and all of this with new features, they're looking for help, right, in helping to achieve not only efficiencies, but effectiveness in how they build and debug their software. So we'll talk a little bit about some of the, you know, business drivers and some multi-core usage scenarios. If we take a look at the business drivers, you know, here at Wind River, we see at least five, right? And, you know, we've talked about cost, and that's something that's, you know, top of mind, at least in the wireless infrastructure type market, right, as we look at LTE applications, WiMAX, even femtocells, right? You know, having low-cost solutions is, you know, sort of key to being successful from a business perspective. Time to market is also a key driver. Safety and security, right? So we see this class of applications where our customers have invested to make their software certified and safe and secure. But still, there's pressure to add new capabilities to that. So they're looking towards, you know, virtualization-type technology as a way of taking the existing assets as is and running them on the device and not necessarily going through the complete expensive recertification process. Performance is obviously a key driver. You know, looking for ways to increase system performance by leveraging the multi-core and some of the parallelism that multi-core provides. In terms of usage scenarios, you know, consolidation, right? So I've got a device that had, I have a card that had two or three processors on it. You know, can I achieve some cost reduction by consolidating that into one of these many-core type devices? So you can see that there's a number of drivers, right, that have, that we feel are going to obviously have a lot of folks looking at some of the Cavium technologies for new designs, as well as looking to Wind River for new tools to help make them productive with developing applications on these platforms. I want to talk now about some of the software-specific development challenges. And there's four of them I'm going to step through. The first one is right now, you know, what we see amongst our customers is a lot of focus on reuse, right? So it's very difficult to do these sort of big bang new development type projects. And then one of the questions that they need to ask is, you know, this device application that was, you know, probably designed for a uniprocessor environment, you know, how well suited is it to multiprocessing and moving to a multi-core platform? From a system design perspective, there's this whole issue of, you know, making great use of your device driver resources, and also in some cases taking advantage of some of the accelerators that vendors like Cavium provide on their devices, and revisiting some of those device drivers, or looking for bottlenecks, right, where resources that are typically really on the critical path for delivering like a networking function or something like that, looking for ways of redesigning that to deal with the additional capacity and throughput of the expanded application. Then there's the need to develop and test this stuff, right? And, what will it take, right? How do I get my developers who are used to working in, a single-threaded or uniprocessor environment and to embrace the fact that now you might, run into situations where a lower priority interrupt could preempt something that's running at a higher priority. And then finally, there's performance, right? And there's many things that contribute to this whole discussion around performance. Some of them are application related as you deal with some of the challenges or limits of Amdahl's law or the fact that, you can't, if you've got a particular process or task that, takes, let's say 5% of the CPU processing, right? Well, you are limited in terms of the performance gains that you could get without re-architecting that aspect of the application. And then when you start dealing with these devices, obviously they become a little bit more intricate, right, in terms of cache and memory and how do you partition memory. And so all of these things we feel, the word is complex, but we feel that, multi-core development has become intricate and compounded by some of these issues. And there's a need for really a comprehensive solution that helps you address both the runtime and development aspects that multi-core presents. Wind River, no surprise, provides that comprehensive solution, right? And it includes four aspects. It includes leading operating systems like VxWorks, Wind River Linux, and bare metal configurations of our operating systems. And leveraging these things or these proven technologies will clearly help you to minimize the risk with your product. There's choice. All right, so earlier in this presentation, I kind of alluded to the fact that depending on your application or depending on your goals from either a cost or a performance perspective, you might want to choose between different multi-core configurations, whether that be asymmetrical multiprocessing or whether it be virtualization-type technologies. And Wind River, again, is the leading vendor in terms of offering choices in the area of SMP, AMP, and hypervisor. You want a solution that's tailored, right? So in addition to providing our general platforms, Wind River has stacks of our runtimes that are optimized for specific industries or applications like networking or network offloading. And then finally, there's tools. And that's really what I'm going to spend some time talking about today. Folks need advanced tools to help manage this new complex multi-core world we work in. And they need tools at different levels, but for this particular discussion, we're going to focus on tools that help with, let's talk about the system integration aspects of developing on these new devices. So I would like to introduce our new product. Our new product is called the Wind River Ice 2. It's part of our suite of high-performance, high-quality, and cost-effective on-chip debugging solutions. And it really helps with providing embedded developers with insight into what's going on the device, right, without the use of agent technology that, could in some cases perturb or introduce like Heisenberg uncertainty type characteristics when you're debugging your application. The Wind River Ice 2 supports, many of the leading 32 and 64-bit processors out there across a number of architectures, including MIPS and the Cavium Octeon Plus family of processors. It can be used for up to 16 cores, so you could do simultaneous on-chip debugging of 16 cores, and we'll talk about where that could become useful to you. And it could be used on earlier, Steve showed a slide of an ATCA board that could potentially be a multiprocessor board, and the Wind River ICE2 could be used to talk to multiple devices on a board or up to a board that has 128 devices on a scan chain. Our value add is, again, this ability to provide operating system aware debugging for operating systems like Wind River VxWorks as well as Wind River Linux, and then to provide a complete, you know, sort of full system level debugging experience that embraces not only Wind River Linux and VxWorks, but is also inclusive of runtimes like Cavium's SimpleExec. So typically, these on-chip debugging technologies are used, as I described earlier, in board bring-up as well as system debugging type configurations. And I want to use this slide to articulate a little bit about the Wind River solution for doing this system-level debugging. So the Wind River ICE2 works with our Wind River Workbench development environment. Wind River Workbench is effectively the host-based integrated development environment, or IDE, for not only you know your edit and build tasks, but as well your debugging and on-chip debugging activities. With Wind River Workbench, you could connect one instance of the host up to multiple processors or multiple cores, and you could debug them each simultaneously, right? And each window, or each context, rather, I should say, gives you a unique set of debug views, right, which, of course, the user could organize as they would like, right? Using these debug views, you could inspect, you know, how the processor is running, or, you know, how a specific core is running, or you could, you know, go right down to a specific thread within a process. You could look at the source code that's executing. You could look at the stack, the backtrace. You could look at registers. And you've got full run control over that particular context. You have great flexibility in terms of breakpoints that you set. So, for example, if you could debug one particular core, or you could set a breakpoint to stop the entire system and then inspect to see what caused a particular issue. So, you know, for those of you who've done some of the application integration work onto devices like the Cavium Octeon family, you can quickly see how these capabilities become essential and invaluable when you need to observe and control the interaction in a multiprocessor environment. So Workbench, together with our on-chip debugging solutions, gives you, quite frankly, a lot of power with respect to doing system-level debugging at the glass. But part of what I want to talk a little bit about what's going on underneath the covers, because, again, that's really kind of what makes our solutions special, especially within the context of you know, some of the you know, higher core or higher integrated core devices from Cavium. Part of our distinguishing value is around this thing that we call a JTAG accelerator. And where this is useful, I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking to you about how the JTAG accelerator works, but I will talk about why it's very important, and it kind of relates to a point I made on the previous slide. So imagine a scenario right now where something's happening in the system and you effectively want to freeze it. Right, you want to send a stop command to all the cores, and then go in on each core, poke around the different registers to figure out what's going on. Well, the way that's implemented is that there's obviously a JTAG command that goes from the host, and then eventually gets executed on the device. The way we have structured our on-chip debugging solutions to work is that we do some queuing. That way, we're able to fully make use of the JTAG bus. right? Or, and the reason why that's important is that it results in a highly responsive debugging experience, right? So, for example, when I do say stop all cores, right, and it has to send, or I say stop these five cores, our JTAG debugging solution is able to send that message with minimal latency, such that when they are in fact stopped and you want to go around and, you know, inspect register values or look at which threads or tasks we're running, you get a very accurate snapshot view of what's going on in the system. So this kind of speaks to when we talk about the ICE2 as being a high-quality device, it's aspects like this that make it a high-quality device. I wanted to set up, so let's take a case study here of how you could use the ICE2 and Wind River Workbench on-chip debugging to debug, let's say, an application like a networking or a networking offload type application. So here's a scenario where you've got a multiprocessor configuration, and you know, for to help improve performance and to, you know, consolidate some functionality, you're going to offload a particular networking function onto a new device. And for this example, we chose the Cavion CN5860. Now, in the scenario that we've described here, we have Wind River Linux handling some of the control plane logic, and we've got that configured in an SMP configuration, right? So Wind River Linux is running on two cores. And then for packet processing, we have a combination of VxWorks and Cavium SimpleExec, right? So in this particular case, this particular customer had some legacy assets that were used, that were built to run on Cavium SE, and did not want to rewrite them, but some of the new functionality was going to be written using the VxWorks runtime. The beautiful thing about this is that they can all coexist together in a unified debugging experience through Wind River Workbench. So we could talk a little bit now about some of these, so this configuration. So this is a slightly different view, but you can see that in this configuration, I could, for example, use our agent debugging solutions to connect up to the Wind River Linux cores, right, and just use the standard agent debug capabilities to do user mode debugging of my applications. I also have the ability to use the JTAG connection to connect up to the remaining 14 cores, right? And I could load the software through my JTAG emulator, and I've got full control. So, for example, I could stop all the cores and inspect all the system state while the Wind River Linux cores continue to do their control or C-plane type functioning. Or I could do just stop the VxWorks cores, right, while the Cavium SimpleExec cores continue to run. And also, you know, so you can see the permutations are quite extensive, again, giving you a lot of flexibility in debugging options. But one of the key things is you don't have to learn 2, 3, or potentially even 4 different debuggers in order to get this experience. All of this could be done directly through the Wind River Workbench development environment. From a processor coverage perspective, we cover off 11, I believe, of the Cavium Octeon product family. You can see the devices here. All of these are supported with Wind River Workbench on-chip debugging edition, version 3.02, as well as the Wind River ICE2, which was just recently made available. From a host operating system support, they're all listed here in, I believe, alphabetical order, but we support a range of Linux host operating systems, as well as Sun Solaris and Windows operating systems. So the solution should be easily adaptable within your environment. The Wind River ICE2 is one component of our on-chip debugging product family. We also offer a probe, which offers basic run control, but for uniprocessor or unicore type development scenarios. There's the Wind River ICE 2, which we've talked about, provides a number of capabilities as well as Ethernet connectivity. If you have a distributed team or, you know, a lab that's, you know, not necessarily centrally available to all of your engineering teams, they have the option of connecting up to our JTAG debugging solution through the Ethernet or high-speed Ethernet ports. And we also offer a trace capability, which is also very valuable. So the trace capability allows you to basically monitor and render bus cycles without necessarily stopping the processor, right? So again, that type of capability is very useful when you're trying to debug some of the timing aspects of when you're doing your hardware, software-hardware integration type work. Additional product information about Wind River Workbench and the Wind River ICE 2 is available on our website. We've, as I mentioned, the Wind River ICE 2 is a fairly new product. We launched it just this past August. So I'd encourage you to visit our launch page where we have collateral that describes the capabilities and benefits of the ICE 2, as well as some video collateral that gives you an overview of the capabilities of the device. I would also encourage you to learn more about Wind River's comprehensive solutions for multi-core development. And we have a launch page for our multi-core solutions as well as a white paper that gives you an overview of what we provide. And you could download that paper from our website. So with that, we've provided an overview of the Cavium processors. We've talked a little bit about the Wind River solutions for debugging those processors. And now we're going to open the floor for questions and answers.
This is Steve Klinger with Cavium Network. So I'll take the first question. And that question is, do the Cavium security engines hard code an entire security algorithm such as IPsec? And the answer is no. What the security engines implement are hardware acceleration for the building blocks of security algorithms. So the primitive operations that construct a security algorithm are what are optimized in hardware. Those primitives are then accessed with a C library. The advantage of the approach being that you can very flexibly construct new algorithms that haven't even been defined yet based upon the acceleration of those lower level building blocks. Doing an algorithm level acceleration is really a very inflexible approach that may allow you to implement a particular security application very well, but is very inflexible to extending that capability.
Okay. I have a question here. Do the Wind River tools help with the partitioning work? So the Wind River tools can assist with the partitioning work by giving you the ability to trace the interaction between threads or application components using our system viewer technology. We also partner with other vendors who offer basically higher level or top-down partitioning solutions. So I'd encourage you to check out our partner or the partner section of our website where some of them are listed. Short answer is yes. We do offer some bottom-up capabilities to help you analyze the partitioning problem, and we partner to help do top-down application partitioning for multi-core.
Okay, this is from Cavium. There's a question, can you describe the scheduling in a little more detail? And what is being referred to is the scheduling capability of the Cavium Schedule Sync Order Unit. Kevin Crozier, our applications engineer, will answer that question.
And that's actually a really great question because it's what makes Octeon probably unique in the multi-core world. And We have a hardware unit that we call the Schedule Sync Order unit, and it's really a hardware implementation of a work scheduler, and this is important because it relieves the software engineer from having to write potentially a complicated algorithm to do that scheduling, and also then takes time away from them from having to actually do the work that they want to do. So that scheduler, really what it is it manages or it keeps track of all of the packets that are being worked on by other CPUs in the system. So it knows that Core 1 is working on a specific packet, Core 2 is working on a specific packet, Core 3 is working on a specific packet. And say when Core 4 actually is done processing the packet that it was working on and it comes back and it says, okay, I need a new piece of work or a new packet to work on, that Schedule Sync Order unit looks at all of the work that's being worked on and all of the work that's come into its input queues and makes an intelligent decision as far as which piece of work to dispatch to that core. And what that really means is that it makes sure that if I hand this particular packet to this particular core, it'll be able to make forward progress on that packet and not be blocked waiting for a critical resource or a critical section to become available.
So we have a question asking, can you see idle cores on the Cavium processor with the Wind River Ice 2 debugger? So that's a good question. I'm not completely familiar with the term idle cores. Now, we do provide the ability to connect to all cores, right, including cores that do not necessarily have software loaded onto them. Jeff, I don't know if you're able to go off mute.
Yep.
Do you have anything to add there?
I'm not real familiar with what they mean by idle cores, but like you say, you can connect to any of the cores and stop and investigate them at any point.
Okay. Thank you.
Next question was, what do you exactly mean by saying TCP termination versus TCP acceleration? And to clarify, the TCP acceleration is the set of hardware capability that we've implemented within Octeon to allow a TCP termination application to be implemented very efficiently. So that includes the features that we've implemented for buffer management, for timers, for flow ordering in particular. So that's the clarification there. The acceleration capability is what allows us to implement a termination application. And we do have a full TCP stack that the Cavium offers and licenses to our users that's provided as source code.
Okay, I have a question here. Does the ICE2 support JTAG chaining? So the answer to that is yes. The ICE2 does support JTAG chaining. The ICE2 could work on a JTAG chain with up to 128 devices on it. I will say, though, that the throughput or performance of the ICE2 will be dependent on, obviously, the lowest performing device on that JTAG scan chain. But that's just just normal or standard JTAG behavior. So the answer is yes, the ICE2 does support JTAG chaining.
The next question was, do the Octeon devices require users to develop microcode, such as with previous NPUs, such as IXP-style devices? The answer is no, there's no microcode that is required to be written for the Octeon processors. It's fully C programmable, and the tool chain is based on standard, very standard flow, GCC, compiler, GDB, DDD debugger that have been extended to offer multi-core capability. The benefit of of doing this type of programming and leveraging OSs from folks like Wind River allows our customers to take code that may have been deployed on a previous general purpose processor and very quickly implement it on Octeon. Microcode tends to be a very slow approach that ties you to a single architecture and a single device in many cases. So we found what taking this approach has done is really allowed us to open this type of technology to a much broader set of programmers, whereas NPUs tended to be very specialized devices where a couple of engineers within a given customer account over a period of several years might learn how to program the chip, and then the architecture changed, so the all the benefit of that learning and that code development would go away.
Okay, I have a question here. Does the Wind River Ice 2 use the same connector as the Mentor Graphics debugger? So the answer is no. No, the Wind River Ice 2 comes with its own adapters that will be used to connect up to your JTAG port on your board.
Hey, Kevin Crozier will take the next question, which is the scheduler in the Octeon application aware? Can work be categorized and mapped to particular cores?
And that's a really great question because really for the scheduler to be useful, it needs some amount of configurability or programmability. And so the schedule sync order unit can actually be, it does have quite a bit of flexibility. And it does support core partitioning in that you can specify some group of cores in the simplest case are control plane and some group of cores are data plane. And the scheduler can be used to pass messages or pass packets between those two core groups to facilitate intra-processor communication as well as, the whole data plane, control plane need to communicate, and you can then even further segment your data plane if you had some group of cores, say, doing IPsec and another group of cores doing UTM or some kind of unified threat management. You could split those cores, and then once a packet comes in and is decrypted by the IPsec cores, those packets could then be passed to the UTM cores to actually run the threat management software on. So the scheduler does support that. And is probably really key in a lot of those applications for making good use of the multi-core capability of Octeon.
There's a question here where a request for pricing for the ICE 2. I will ask for that question. If you visit the ICE 2 launch page, and I know some folks have commented that they're unable to click on the hyperlinks that we included in this presentation here. But if you copy paste them into your browser, there's a request more information link, and please fill the information there, and we'd be more than glad to connect with you and give you additional information on pricing and the like for the ICE 2. Okay, I think from a time perspective, I think we've come to the end of our allotted time here. So I do want to thank you all for joining our webinar today. And should you have any questions, please reach out to us. Have a great day.